Well, welcome to Talking Too Loud with Chris Savage, the show that's serving up the loudest takes on building businesses, top-notch products, and unforgettable brands. And I'm here with Scott Clary today, entrepreneur, investor, and founder and host of the Success Story Podcast. So thanks for joining me, Scott.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so we're going to get into your expertise. We're going to go deep on entrepreneurship, creating content. But first, the show's called Talking Too Loud. I got to ask you, what's got you talking too loud?
So what's got me talking too loud? You said I didn't have to have a business answer, but I have a business answer.
Yeah,
you're going to appreciate this.
Yeah.
So I just spent about just under $40,000 building out a studio for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
So I am all in on video for the show because
amazing.
I think this is, I mean, this is the future of how you connect with an audience.
Yeah.
And that's a very nerdy answer, but I think
that's not nerdy.
I mean, it's a
podcast. You're proud. That's great.
Listen, I podcast for a living now. So like I have opinions about it. That's my But I think that if you don't focus on creating great video content, and this is not a plug for Wistia, even though this is what you do for a living too, but if you don't, I think you're going to be disrupted by somebody who does. So I'm trying to go for podcast, highest production value. Like I want to, when I have somebody looking on YouTube or Wistia or wherever we host it, I want them to see like Diary of a CEO and I want them to see like Success Story and look at the production value and be like, I can't tell the difference in terms of how much energy and effort and money and time has been put into that final product. And I think that's what resonates.
How do you balance production value with like authenticity?
Well, the authenticity is in you being a good host and creating a vibe where the guest is comfortable speaking and doing your prep work so that you actually speak about things that the guest cares about. If you do that, then the production value, just the cameras are rolling.
Yeah.
If you over-index on production value, you don't have great content, also it's not gonna be great. You have to do like the basics first. So I did about 500 plus episodes of figuring out how to be a good interviewer before I cared about production value.
We can clip that. Okay. you sold to some of the biggest brands in the world.
Yeah.
What's one lesson about pitching or selling that entrepreneurs underestimate?
One lesson. I would say the most useful lesson is a concept called multi-threading. So really, you have to sell to not just the decision maker, but you have to find people that will go to bat with you in the organization, and then you also have to find ways to connect with all the decision influencers. So that is something that if you're selling B2C, you don't really have to think about, even like B to SMB. But if you are selling to enterprise, I mean, you have to have, say you're selling a tech product, CTO, CFO, it could even impact the other business units in the organization. So when you first jump on that discovery call with a person who you think is a decision influencer or a decision maker, you are letting them know because you're so experienced in selling to that person that, by the way, all these other people should be on the next call.
Yeah.
And that's really how you close deals. That's how you increase sales velocity. That's how you get deals done. Because more often than not, the thing that people screw up when they're selling to enterprise is they put too much energy into the wrong person. Or they just think it's one person that's going to make that buying decision. And that's not the way enterprise companies purchase. So you have to think about how does this impact everybody and how do I bring them all to the table to get that deal done as quick as possible.
Do you think content can play a role to help you there?
Yes, because if you, again, talk about enterprise sales, you need, depending on the research, 7 to 15 different touch points with that buying committee, so to speak, before they trust you enough to actually purchase your product.
Yeah.
Those 7 to 15 different touch points could be Zoom call, it could be sit down for coffee, it could be content they consume online as well. So it could be text, it could be you know, DMing somebody on LinkedIn. So you have to have a combination of content so that they can consume enough of you so that when they actually start speaking to you, first of all, they understand what you do. So maybe 70 to 80% of the buying decision has already been made and you're just bringing it over the finish line. So yes, content is a huge play for that. And business, I mean, enterprise, selling to enterprise usually don't get content right because they suck.
But that's an opportunity.
It is a huge opportunity.
Yeah. That's what I think about whenever, you know, obviously most of that content does suck.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you have anything that's actually good, the chances of it resonating are so much
higher. Look at where we're at right now, right?
Totally.
We're at Inbound. Look at what HubSpot does.
Yeah.
HubSpot killed the content game when Mark Roberge was their first CRO building HubSpot out of a garage. And then he figured out demand generation. Any business topic you ever look up, you can find a blog from HubSpot about that business topic. Now they're doing the same thing with podcasts, they're doing the same thing with YouTube. So they get the content game, and that's, I mean, they're multi-billion dollar publicly traded company.
Yeah,
they're doing well, right?
Yeah.
It's not the only way to build a business, but I think that it's a more predictable way to build a business if you focus on good content.
Yeah, and you can be in control,
yeah.
I think, which is big. Okay, you've built a massive following with Success Story. What's your secret sauce to creating content that not only grabs attention, but also retains it?
Yeah, so a lot of it, for the actual podcast, a lot of it is the research and the prep beforehand. So to make sure that you're not just asking the questions that everyone else who's interviewing this great A-list guest has asked.
Yeah.
And then after that, if you nail the pillar content, meaning that long form audio video, then the derivative content, you're going to be testing all these different clippings of all that pillar content, but the derivative content's also going to be good. But I think it's just the prep work that goes into making sure that, first of all, you're creating an environment where the guest is comfortable talking about things they care about. And then secondly, it's bringing up things that are not vanilla boilerplate questions.
And then let's talk about the match between what the guest is comfortable talking about and like what your audience wants. Like, how do you make sure that you get that match right?
Before we press record, I ask what the guest is comfortable speaking about. And I ask them for like spiky points of view or opinions or contrarian ideas or controversial. Like, I'm never going to sideline the guest. It's not TMZ.
Yeah.
But I'll give them the option. I'll be like, hey, we do research.
Yeah.
Just so you know, like, there's probably 20 podcasts with pick a business, A-list business celebrity on it. What are 5 to 10 different things that you would care to speak about that maybe you haven't been asked before or that you feel are controversial points?
Yeah.
And you give them, again, you're creating a psychologically safe space for the person to speak about those things, but you're giving them the opportunity to talk about those things before or sort of flag you on those things beforehand.
So what's like a really controversial opinion that you have about building content that you think would really, that marketers would really want to hear about on Talking Too Loud?
A really controversial opinion?
Yeah.
So people ask me, like, how did you build your audience and how did you build your podcast?
Yeah.
And my answer to them is, every podcast that I put out, I get about 100 derivative pieces of content from that. And I post it across all social. And I'll leverage my team, I'll leverage tools to make that process.
100 clips per episode.
Well, including video,
a
newsletter,
Tweets,
like little square images. So the answer is people don't test enough. People think they test more than they actually do. People think they work harder than they actually do.
Yeah.
So like 500 episodes and do the math, like pieces of content later, that's when you can actually figure out what works and what doesn't. So I think that people just don't put in enough reps. And that's a hard pill to swallow.
Why don't they put in enough reps in?
I mean, if you look at what it takes to be a top 1% podcast, I think you have to release like 10 episodes or something like this.
Yeah.
So I think they don't put enough reps in.
Oh, you're saying, okay.
Yeah.
Because the measure, so someone's like, oh, I've done 10.
Yes.
So I'm good.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I got it.
You
understand.
You talk to Mr. Beast, he says, I'll help you after putting out 500 YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that people focus on motivation over systems and processes, and they want to start something, and then they don't realize how much work it's going to take, kind of like building a startup, same
thing. Yeah, exact, yeah.
And then they give up too early. So my sort of like my one lesson for entrepreneurs, creators is don't worry about like flash in the pan motivation. Figure out how to build systems that will let you do this for an unreasonable amount of time so that you will be successful at it. So if you think about, I like talk about like the 10-year rule a lot, right? Like find a way when you're starting something to commit 10 years of your life to it financially, in terms of like your mental health, your physical health, your energy, your time allocation with your business or your content versus your family. You have to figure out how to do that for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, it's basically changing the landscape that you're competing on.
100%.
Right? Like I think about that with Wistia. I've been doing this 18 years.
I know.
And people all the time are like, so you still like it? You still do it? Like, I actually love it more now than I ever have.
Yeah.
And I find it easier to do it.
Yeah.
But it's taken building the systems and the team and the process to get into the place.
But you had that mindset going into that. Because
when
I spoke to you,
you
weren't even trying to raise venture too
Correct.
Quickly and like speed run entrepreneurship.
No, it was always that approach. It changes timing. You don't have to worry as much about timing
Correct.
When you have a very long time scale.
Correct.
Like, right? You're just competing differently than everybody else.
1,000%. So, I say it's controversial only because a lot of people don't think that way.
Yeah.
That's
well, they
really
don't want to do it because it's the same thing as like getting in shape. It's like, do you want to go to the gym
and
every day?
You go to the gym
like,
in January and then you F off
exactly.
like February.
Yeah. Okay, we're speaking the same language.
Yeah.
what's something this year that you think is going to really like shake things up?
Really shake things up?
Yeah, like create more, a lot more opportunity, or like it might stop a lot of things from working, or like.
I mean, I've deployed AI tools across my whole team, and I'm going to sound like a broken record.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody who's a very smart business person has already figured out how to use Perplexity.
Yeah.
And content creators will figure out how to use Opus.pro and you'll figure out how to use like Otter.ai to transcribe stuff, and then you'll use Claude to turn it into newsletters and blog posts. So, I mean, AI is going to shake it up, but I still feel like not a lot of people are using it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I feel like not a lot of people are using it. So I'm speaking on Friday about AI.
Yeah.
And they asked me, Scott, can you do an AI session? I'm like, guys, like I'm like a marketing guy. Like I'm not like a developer. Yeah. I'm not that technical.
Yeah.
But I've included AI across my whole organization. And I was speaking to the team at HubSpot, and they said, at this point, literally anybody that uses AI is like ahead of the curve and still an expert.
I know.
Even though it's been around for, I don't even know, like a year.
Yeah.
Whatever. A year plus, right? So like you got to find a way and give agency to your team to remove all their admin tasks, all their busy work, all their first pass at creative with AI,
yeah.
so that then they can focus on the things that actually matter, like refining the creative and making it that much better, or doing anything else actually in their JD.
Yeah, so your hot take is basically like people think AI is already here, and the truth is it's
not at all.
And
it's
most people are not using it.
No.
And like, so you still can get a huge advantage from figuring it out.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. I think most people are like, they've dabbled in ChatGPT and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Love that. Okay, we're going to do some wild card questions.
Okay, let's go.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, it'd be anything Frank Sinatra.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. What's a movie you could watch again and again?
It'd be anything Quentin Tarantino. So like Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, like he's
all those.
All day.
Yeah. Okay. What's your dream job other than your current job?
Oh, I love my job right now. That's a tough one, dude. That's a very tough one. If I had another dream job, I used to play a lot of hockey.
Okay.
I would say that playing hockey for a living would be a very fun dream job.
Okay.
Like NHL.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Scott, so good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show. Where should people follow? Where should they connect?
You can find most everything at scottdclary.com. All the socials at Scott D. Clary. You can find the podcast, Success Story, but everything will be linked there.
Amazing.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
My pleasure.